Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for spending some time with me on this Wednesday evening. Let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we bring ourselves into your presence tonight, thankful for your gifts, for the gift of life. And Lord, we thank you for the great administration of President Trump that is now a foundation for our future work and for the renewal of our love for this country. We ask you to bless us as we educate people about his accomplishments, about his vision, as we continue this movement together with him, which he has begun, and as we work for the continued growth of the greatness of America as it blesses its own citizens and the rest of the world. Lord, we ask you to bless your people with clarity of thinking in these times. Help us to see through the rhetoric that is being thrown around, and help us to stay rooted in your truth, which gives clarity to our mind, strength to our will, and peace to our soul. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And amen. So let me know where you're from, especially if you're new to our channel, and let me know where you're from. We always love to welcome you, and I am completely with you. Those of you that are saying, oh, I didn't even watch this inauguration, and I would not have either, except that later tonight I'm going to be on Newsmax for some commentary, and of course, to make commentary, I have to see what it was, but I'll share a few reflections with you. But even more importantly was today to see the remarks of President Trump. So I want to start with that. As a matter of fact, let me check with our technicians here. We have that video of President Trump from this morning. All right, so we're going to see that. Even if you did see it, it's worth watching again and again, where he was at Andrews base. And, you know, he made it clear again today, and this is what I want you to remember above all, that he is saying we have only just begun to build this movement to make America great again. That's a task. It's not just a president or a campaign or an administration. That's a task for everybody who loves America. It's an ongoing task. It transcends any particular administration, and yet it is very rooted in this administration of President Trump, simply because he is the one that ignited this beautiful movement of which we are part, which we are going to continue to be part. So, but let's start. Oh, one of you was asking what time on Newsmax I'm going to be. 10:35 Eastern time this evening. And sometimes that can vary a little bit, okay, depending on how their segments go, but 10:35. So we're going to look at President Trump. I want to say one or two things about what Joe Biden said today, and also about some of his executive orders, and we'll talk about that, and we'll share a little bit about that. First, let us watch again. And by the way, we're going to be showing you all kinds of things from and about President Trump as the weeks and months go on here. We're going to keep him in front of the American people, and because the determination, the enthusiasm, the optimism, the American spirit, the accomplishments, the principles, the goals, the energy that he has brought to his office has to continue in us. It has to continue to inspire us. And but let's take a look at President Trump from earlier this morning.
President Trump and First Lady taking the stage. All right. A few words from the president and first lady. Let's listen in.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we love you. And I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. This has been an incredible 4 years. We've accomplished so much together. I want to thank all of my family and my friends and my staff and so many other people for being here. I want to thank you for your effort, your hard work. People have no idea how hard this family worked. They worked, and they worked for you. They could have had a much easier life, but they did a fantastic job. I just want to thank all of you, everyone. I want to thank Mark Meadows, who's here someplace right there. I want to thank Mark. But it's been something very special. We've accomplished a lot. Our First Lady has been a woman of great grace and beauty and dignity. And so popular with the people, so popular with the people. In fact, honey, would you like to say a few words, please?
Being your First Lady was my greatest honor. Thank you for your love and your support. You will be in my thoughts and prayers. God bless you all. God bless your families. And God bless this beautiful nation. Thank you.
What else has to be said, right? But what we've done, that's true, honey, great job. What we've done has been amazing by any standard. We rebuilt the United States military. We created a new force called Space Force. That in itself would be a major achievement for a regular administration. We were not a regular administration. We took care of the vets, 91% approval rating. They've never had that before. The vets have given us the VA. The vets have given us an approval rating like has never been before. We took care of our vets and our beautiful vets. They were very badly treated before we came along. And as you know, we get them great service and we pick up the bill and they can go out and they can see a doctor if they have to wait long periods of time. We got it so that we can sadly get rid of people that don't treat our vets properly. We didn't have any of those rights before when I came on. So our vets are happy, our people are happy, our military is thrilled. We also got tax cuts, the largest tax cut and reform in the history of our country by far. I hope they don't raise your taxes. But if they do, I told you so. And if you look at the regulations, which I consider the regulation cuts to be maybe even more important, that's why we have such good and have had such good job numbers. The job numbers have been absolutely incredible. When we started, had we not been hit by the pandemic, we would have had numbers that would never have been seen. Already, our numbers are the best ever. If you look at what happened until February a year ago, our numbers were at a level that nobody had ever seen before. And even now, we really built it twice. We got hit. Nobody blames us for that. The whole world got hit. And then we built it again. And now the stock market is actually substantially higher than it was at its higher point prior to the pandemic. So it's really, you could say, we built it twice. And you're going to see. You're going to see incredible numbers start coming in if everything is sort of left alone. Be careful. Very complex. Be careful. But you're going to see some incredible things happening. And remember us when you see these things happening, if you would. Remember us, because I'm looking at elements of our economy that are set to be a rocket ship up. It's a rocket ship up. We have the greatest country in the world. We have the greatest economy in the world. And as bad as the pandemic was, we were hit so hard, just like the entire world was hit so hard. Places that thought they got away with it didn't get away with it. They're suffering right now. We did something that is really considered a medical miracle. They're calling it a miracle, and that was the vaccine. We got the vaccine developed in 9 months instead of 9 years or 5 years or 10 years or a long time. It was supposed to take a long time, many, many years to develop a vaccine. We have two out. We have another one coming almost immediately. And it really is a great achievement. So you should start to see really good numbers over the next few months. I think you're going to see those numbers really skyrocket downward. And I can only say this, we have worked hard. We've left it all, as the athletes would say, we've left it all in the field. We don't have to come and say, we'll never say in a month when we're sitting in Florida, we're not going to be looking at each other and saying, you know, if we only worked a little bit harder, you can't work harder. And we had a lot of obstacles and we went through the obstacles. And we just got 75 million votes, and that's a record in the history of sitting presidents. That's an all-time record by a lot, by many millions in the history of sitting presidents. It's been really just an honor. One of the things we're very, very proud of is the selection of almost 300 federal judges and three great Supreme Court justices. That's a very big number. That's a record-setting number. And so we've done a lot, and there's still things to do. The first thing we have to do is pay our respects and our love to the incredible people and families who suffered so gravely from the China virus. It's a horrible thing that was put onto the world. We all know where it came from, but it's a horrible, horrible thing. So be very careful, be very, very careful. But we want to pay great love to all of the people that have suffered, including families who have suffered so gravely. So with that, I just want to say you are amazing people. This is a great, great country. It is my greatest honor and privilege to have been your president. I will always fight for you. I will be watching, I will be listening, and I will tell you that the future of this country has never been better. I wish the new administration great luck and great success. I think they'll have great success. They have the foundation to do something really spectacular. And again, we put it in a position like it's never been before, despite the worst plague to hit since, I guess you'd say, 1917, over 100 years ago. And despite that, the things that we've done have been just incredible, and I couldn't have done it without you. So just a goodbye. We love you. We will be back in some form. And again, I want to just, in leaving, I want to thank our Vice President, Mike Pence, and Karen. I want to thank Congress, because we really worked well with Congress, at least certain elements of Congress. But we really did. We've gotten so much done that nobody thought would be possible. But I do want to thank Congress. And I want to thank all of the great people of Washington, D.C., all of the people that we worked with to put this miracle together. So have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right. Just what we expect the president to say. Recap a little bit of his accomplishments.
And then after that speech this morning, the president came down here to Florida, where, of course, he lives. And it's a joy to be in the same state with him. And we do look forward to seeing him. He's going to be very involved. He's going to be very much with us in this battle. He's going to be continuing to lead this movement. And we'll see what surprises he will have for us. You can be sure. He will, and you know, one of the key things that that we all need to do is to work with our state legislators. So one of you was asking about all that that dimension of the election. We work with our state legislators on laws that need to be reformed and improved and strengthened, and constitutional questions that need to be clarified as to who changes and who's responsible for election law and so forth. But brothers and sisters, I want to share with you a thought or two about what Mr. Biden said today. You know, it was a very low energy speech, and it was a rather self-contradictory one. And what I mean by that is, the as one might expect, you know, he was trying to paint himself as you know, a champion of unity. Oh, let's have unity, let's unite, let's heal. But then he said some strange things, like, you know, we are facing a winter of peril in the country. Well, it's not true. We have so many tremendous successes right now, including successes against the China virus, and energy independence and the strength of the military and a stronger border security than ever before. And like the president was saying just now, reminding us about the vets and the strongest and fastest economic recovery and all these things. You know, you listen to President Trump and you come away feeling good about America. You listen to Biden and you come away feeling like, oh, wow, oh, ew, you get a you know, sort of a negative feeling. And then he talked about, you know, we have to stamp out, right after the swearing in of the first female African-American woman as vice president in our history, Biden in his speech talks about the need to get rid of systemic racism. And sitting there among the dignitaries was former President Obama. Systemic racism, what are you talking about? White supremacy, he's mentioning it in his speech as if it's some kind of a, you know, plague overarching America. Again, what are you talking about? It's like he's not living in the same country as the rest of us are. Racism, racism, racism. You know, you're not going to unite a country or prove that you're sincere when you say you want to unite it when you keep throwing around these political buzzwords is what they are. Enough already. You want to unite a country, you focus on what unites us, not on what divides us. You focus in on successes. You know, one of the things he failed to do in his speech today was to thank President Trump for all the successes that he has brought to this country. Because as President Trump always says, success unites. Greatest economy ever. Greatest security and military. Better trade deals. Millions and millions of people lifted out of poverty, 17-year low in poverty. This is success. Flourishing of small businesses, all of this, of course, strengthening us prior to the China virus, and then again, the quickest economic recovery of any nation. Success unites. Celebrate the successes. Point to the successes. Don't try to ignore them. No matter what the tensions have been, he should have thanked the president for the successes, because then he would have been helping to bring some unity with half the country that voted for him. Him, I mean President Trump. You've got the voters across the country that support President Trump. Acknowledge that they're supporting something valid. So that's one thing. Secondly, you know, you don't, he talked about facts and that we have to be careful that we manipulate or manufacture facts. And that we have to defeat lies. You have to be careful that you don't fail, as if you try to lead this country, that you don't fail to acknowledge the concerns of half the country. That doesn't mean you have to agree with them. In fact, you can make it very clear that you don't agree with them. But acknowledge the concerns that half the country has. I didn't hear that coming across. Nor was there a sufficient acknowledgement of what it is that we unify around. You know, you could talk about unity in itself as a good, but it really doesn't exist in and of itself. It exists in unifying around something, something tangible, something intelligible. You unify around specific things. So I could talk, you know, you got two football teams. Now, Super Bowl is coming up in a few weeks, and you know, you'll have, you know, one team, you know, playing against another, and each team could talk about unity. Hey, we got to unify on our team. But obviously, those are two different unities, right? Because you're unifying around different teams. You got competing companies, and they can give a pep talk to their staff about being in unity. Well, yeah, unity is a good thing. Except those are two very different kinds of unity. You know, you got two competing companies. Or you can think of groups that, you know, aren't very good. You know, what if there's a KKK rally, you know, and they, you know, they have a big gathering and a big speech there, and they've got the crosses burning and they have white ugly costumes, and they could talk about unity too. Hell, we've got to unite. Yeah, they'll unite all right. But they're uniting around the wrong thing, aren't they? So you can't just talk about unity. You've got to talk about the things that bring it about, the things around which you want people to unite. Our country is already united against fundamental evils like white supremacy, and we're already united on various fundamental things. And what unites us are the principles on which the country was founded and the history that brought us to this place. Now, interestingly, the president took a number of executive actions today, and of course that's something that was expected. He signed quite a few executive orders today, 17 of them at the last count, and there'll be more coming tomorrow, and I'll say a word about what some of those things are. But one of the things he's doing is doing away with this 1776 commission that President Trump started in order to renew education about our country, to strengthen patriotism, to make sure that children in our schools are getting a grounding in our actual history and an accurate understanding of what our founding fathers did and how this country functions. And these little documents that come in this is my pocket, Constitution and Declaration of Independence. See how very short these documents are. But as one of you was saying, we need that commission back again. And what in the world is wrong with us? You see, there's nothing wrong with it. On the one hand, he's saying, we have to unite as a country. And then you're going to take action against an effort to help students learn our history. Learning our history is exactly one of the ways you build unity in the country. We are one country. We have one history. We don't have 10 different histories. We don't have a history that the left wants to write or rewrite and a history of the rest of us. There's one history in this country. That's one of the foundations of our unity. So, yeah, don't be impressed with talk about unity. You know, we hear this a lot in the church, too. These kind of vague calls for unity. You got to unify around something. When you talk about unity in the church, you got to unify around the actual teachings of the church, not around some kind of vague idea that lets you, you know, make up or pick and choose among those teachings as you please. Some of these executive orders now, he wants to, and here's something we have to understand too, you know, when we start talking about the executive orders, and we're going to see this too, you always see this in any administration, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. You see that campaigning is one thing, governing is something quite different. In campaigns, you can use a lot of rhetoric. You overstate things, you oversimplify things. When it comes to governing, you start to look at the details. The devil is in the details, as we say, right? And it's always much more nuanced. It's always much more detailed. It's always much more complex. It's always much more limited when you come to governing. So I want to invite you to really, in these coming months, these coming days, weeks, and months, take the time, take a little extra time, more than you ever have before, and study what is going on. These executive orders, for example, that, you know, don't just go by the headlines, the sound bites, the tweets. Dig deeper. It was going to be an executive order. Like one of the executive orders was, you know, about the so-called Muslim ban that President Trump put in place early in his administration. As I have explained on this program multiple times, there is no Muslim ban. The President Trump put into place very reasonable and necessary measures, working with multiple departments. It wasn't just something that he came up with on his own, you know, out of his own head and decided to, you know, impulsively act because he doesn't like Muslims. None of that is true. That's ridiculous. What he did was, with careful consultation with the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, and other departments, the Department of Justice and so forth, carefully develop protocols for vetting people who are coming in from other countries and making sure that those countries from which they're coming have a necessary, have the necessary central authority and mechanisms to make sure they're not exporting terrorists or that they themselves as a country aren't sponsoring terrorism. So what's unreasonable about that? And the Trump administration worked with these countries to give them the opportunity to improve their methods of vetting people to come into this country. And so what's the matter? We don't want to be protected from terrorists? Is that the problem? Is that the issue? Is that what's the matter with the Democrats? We don't want our communities to be protected from terrorism. You've got to pay attention to what kind of vetting and protocols and systems these countries have. And that's exactly what the president's executive orders do. It's not based on being Muslim. The vast majority of the Muslim countries of the world were not included in the so-called ban. They were not included. You can't call it a Muslim ban. And yet, you know, now the circus has begun. with the mainstream media, you know, chanting all the way, oh, yeah, he's reversing the Muslim ban. There's no Muslim ban in the first place. The U.S. Supreme Court even ruled on that when people were complaining about what the president did, what President Trump did, and said, oh, it's discrimination against Muslims. The Supreme Court looked at it and said, it's not based on religion. It's not based on religion. They already ruled on that. They examined that. I don't know. You know, brothers and sisters, that's why I want to urge you, look deeply into these things. Somebody's going to comment on these executive orders. Let's start by reading them. Reading the ones that President Trump issued, first of all, and understanding what those are. And then reading the ones that are going to be and are already coming out from Biden. You know, all these things are available. They're public documents. Whitehouse.gov is the White House website. Of course, today that website shifted. We archived, and they archive them too. There's always archives of the presidential websites. You can go back and look at the websites of past presidents. We made our own archive of all President Trump's documents and so forth. And but read these things carefully. One of the other things was, you know, he wants to stop the emergency declaration allowing funds, defense funds, going for the building of the wall. Well, Mr. Biden, the wall is a good thing. In fact, like I've told you, I want to go down and give a blessing to the wall. It's protecting you. It's protecting your family. You notice all the walls. They put up a lot of walls in Washington over these last few days for this event today. Oh, an awful lot of walls. It's amazing. They want walls, these politicians, to protect themselves, but not the rest of the American people. No, the wall is good. The wall is necessary, praise God, for over 400 miles of that wall. See, what I want to do here is this. We need to, this movement continues that we're part of, right? Everything I'm saying now, we've got to challenge the people who voted for Biden. I want to challenge them. Explain to me what you like best about the executive orders of today and why. Challenge these people now. Ask them, have they read the executive orders of this president that they voted for? And have they read the executive orders that he's undoing from President Trump? Have they read them? And press them, if you know Biden voters, press them to explain. For example, let's just take this quote Muslim ban. Ask them what they think about it. You watch how little they know. You watch how little they know. Now let's see what tomorrow, I'm waiting to hear now in terms of pro-life. I sent out an email today. I hope you're getting my emails. Oh, otherwise, go on our website. ProLifeVote.com is our political site. EndAbortion.us is our main site. Make sure you're signed up for our emails, my friends, because I sent one out today and giving you some more information about the Protecting Life in Global Health Assistance policy. This was, when President Trump took office, he reestablished this protection on our tax dollars, protection of our tax dollars from going to abortion overseas. There are initiatives that protect our tax dollars from going to abortion here domestically. Mexico City policy protects them from going for abortion overseas. And very likely one of these upcoming executive orders, maybe tomorrow, is going to end up trying to reverse that. Now I say trying to, because again, campaigning is one thing, governing is another, and you got to look at the details. Exactly what do these executive orders say? How far do they go? It's not always something that can be easily summarized in a soundbite. But we are going to be looking closely at this. But what I did in the email today was to send you some information so you can be better informed as to what the Protecting Life and Global Health Assistance Policy is about. You need to be informed about that so that you can talk to your friends and neighbors. For example, should we, when we're helping other countries, be helping them to kill their children, be helping them to change their abortion laws so that the unborn in those countries are not protected? A lot of these countries want to protect their unborn children, at least to a much larger extent than we do here in the United States. Why should we pressure them at all? And why should we be helping organizations that are going over there and killing their children when international aid is supposed to be about helping other countries increase the protection they give their children, the food and nourishment and medical care they give their children, and the education they give their children? Those are the ways we want to help these other countries, not to kill those children when they're still in the womb. Protecting life and global health assistance. We should also be respecting the sovereignty of those nations. That's one of the things that this policy provides for. If you want to protect your children in the womb, you know, who are we to tell you different, right? That's one of the key philosophies behind this policy. So if Biden wants to reverse this, if he wants, and this is highly unpopular among the American people, that our money should go to kill babies anywhere, whether here at home or in these other countries. If Biden wants to reverse this, here's what we have to avoid. Now, there's certain things we're not going to be able to avoid. He's there now in the White House, and he's going to do these things, you know, and he signs these orders. But here's what we can avoid, and we have the power to prevent. We have the power to prevent the ignorance. In other words, they're going to do certain things. The Democrats, the Biden administration, they're going to do certain things. Don't let them do it in the shadows. Don't let them do it in the darkness. Bring it into the light. That's what we can change. Again, you know some Biden voters? You challenge them. If he's going to take away this policy that protects our tax dollars from going to fund abortion overseas, you rise up and you speak up and you say to those around you who are or may be Biden voters, why do you think this is a good thing? Or do you think that this is a good thing? And if so, why? Force them to answer the question. This is the approach that we need to be using. I also want to point out another thing, and this is not about today, this is about yesterday. Did you see that our outgoing Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, great Secretary of State under President Trump, made a declaration about China? What a wonderful concluding act. Because there's genocide going on over there. The Chinese Communist Party is persecuting a minority group of Muslims. And let me just read part of this important declaration. The United States of America, this is just from yesterday. The United States of America has led the world in holding the perpetrators of the most heinous human rights abuses accountable. From the Nuremberg trials to the creation of the Genocide Convention in 1948, to the declaration of ISIS' recent genocide, Americans have given voice to those who have been silenced by evil and stood with the living who cry out for truth, the rule of law, and justice. We do so not because we are compelled to act by any international court, multilateral body, or domestic political concern. We do so because it is right. For the past 4 years, this administration, the Trump administration, has exposed the nature of the Chinese Communist Party and called it what it is, a Marxist-Leninist regime that exerts power over the long-suffering Chinese people through brainwashing and brute force. We have paid particular attention, and it goes on to talk about this Muslim minority group that is being persecuted. It says, while the Chinese Communist Party has always exhibited a profound hostility to all people of faith, we have watched with growing alarm the party's increasingly repressive treatment of these and other ethnic religious minority groups. And here's some of the crimes that they're guilty of. The arbitrary imprisonment or other severe deprivation of physical liberty of more than a million civilians, forced sterilization, torture of a large number of those arbitrarily detained, forced labor, and the imposition of draconian restrictions on freedom of religion or belief, freedom of expression, and freedom of movement. The Nuremberg tribunals at the end of World War II prosecuted perpetrators for crimes against humanity. The same crimes being committed now in China. The Trump administration has been focusing on this, has been taking action against this, and this was the latest action. Oh, by the way, let me just pause here, because I see this every once in a while. Pat is talking about, you know, reading from a script, you know, when the president speaks. You know, somebody was saying the other day about, you know, oh, he's reading. Do you ever see the Pope give a speech? He didn't write it himself, and he's reading it. What is that supposed to mean? Those are his convictions. Those are his messages. Those are his actions he's talking about. When the president, of course, why do you think there is a speech writing staff for the these world leaders? There's a speech writing staff, whether you're talking about the president or the Pope. First of all, you're talking about people whose words, whose every word has a profound international and historical impact. The words have to be right. Doesn't mean it doesn't represent what they really mean. Doesn't mean that they cannot talk on their own extemporaneously. Doesn't mean that they have no idea what they're saying. That's ridiculous. The Pope reads his speeches. A lot of bishops read their homilies. The president reads statements. He goes ad lib a lot. But the fact of the matter is, this is how it's done right across the board, whether it's Republican, Democrat. The people who ask these questions, don't you guys know this? It's ridiculous and illogical to say, oh, well, because he's reading, he doesn't, it's not really his words. It's his conviction. How do you think that this, what do you think the speechwriters are supposed to do? Hand him a speech of things that he doesn't believe? What I'm doing here now, I'm reading a statement that came here out from the Secretary of State just yesterday. Crimes against humanity, getting back to the point of this, crimes against humanity, and designating this and calling it out is the first necessary step to doing something about it. And, you know, I think it's again, as the Secretary of State said here, it's not because of some domestic political concern or advantage that this is done. But in fact, it's highly significant. Because now we have, you know, Biden, who's a little bit too soft on China, a little bit too friendly to China. And it's good that going into the events of today, this is right on the table and this is out there. And these are kind of the things that you and I have to be paying attention to and letting others be made aware of. You know, the time goes so fast. Oh my goodness. It's 9:47 already. Let me give you a blessing and wish you a good night. I'm going to go on Newsmax in a little while. And yeah, Michelle, you're right. Too soft on China is an understatement. I'm kind of, you know, understating it right now. It's an atrocity. It really is. All right, friends. We are going to be giving you a lot of information over these next days and weeks and months, and we're going to be very active. We want you to be very active. Remember, ProLifeMAGA.com. Sign up there to get action alerts. Sign up for my emails, the one today, making you more aware of this Protecting Life and Global Health Assistance. Let's see if Biden tries to undo that tomorrow. Let's raise the alarm. Let's make sure that every policy and accomplishment of President Trump that they try to undo, that they're not going to be able to do it without finding us standing right there next to that policy and defending it and letting everybody know what it is that they are doing. Forcing every Biden voter to explain their rationale for supporting what they're doing, because they probably don't even know what they're doing. And what we're doing by saying all this is we're laying a strong groundwork for what is going to be a severe backlash against this Democrat extremism come the midterm elections. That race begins now. Those races begin now. That campaign, that election effort begins now. So great in America, isn't it? The beautiful thing about every election is that there's another one that comes after it. Watch out, Democrats, because your extreme policies, they do not resonate with the American people, and the American voters and the Trump voters aren't going anywhere except right back in the voting booth to come against these policies. So, onward we go with strength, with faith, and with the kind of optimistic, joyful spirit that President Trump has, that he showed again yesterday and today in his remarks, and that he wants us to have. Joyful, strong, optimistic, fighting spirit to make America great again. May the Lord bless you, strengthen you, answer all your prayers, protect you and your loved ones, and make you strong advocates for life, for the kingdom of God, and for America. And may he bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Thanks for watching. Have a great night.
I think we have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone, someplace there in the audience. So I appreciate you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.